Ready to get the inside scoop on equity funding? Tune in to TDJ Equity Funding Insiders Podcast for an in-depth look at what it takes to access financial capital and maximize your investments. Hear from experienced professionals, including bankers, underwriters, loan officers, and industry experts as they share their unfiltered stories and valuable lessons on securing funds.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Jacqueline Jackson, your host of TDJ Equity Funder Insiders Podcast. And today we have a special guest, someone or a profession that we all would love to know but hardly ever see. It's an underwriter, and her name is Jean Van, and she's from Florida. And so Jean is going to join us today and give us her insights and knowledge into dealing with personal funding and dealing with business startup funding as well. Welcome, Jean, and thank you for coming into our show today.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
And pleasure to have you. So first of all, we want to do, Jean, is if you would, let's start off with tell our listeners a little bit about you as your experience is on this as well.
Okay, great. So I have been in sales probably for about 25 years, sales, consulting, helping people, clients figure out, you know, the best way to do things, regardless of what kind of industry or field they're in. The last 10 years, I've been an actual direct lender and or funding consultation consultant, helping people actually get the money and guiding them on how to get the money and where to get the money. So about 25 years altogether, but the last 10, I focused strictly on the actual direct lending and funding.
And funding process. Wonderful. And so I guess what we also want to do, if we can, let's explain for us underwriting, what are some of the duties that the underwriters actually do from your side of what you know?
Well, the basic process begins with really evaluating a client for the process to begin with. So we initially take a look at a credit report. You know, what does your credit profile look like? What kind of accounts do you have? Do you have a good mix of, you know, credit cards, bank cards, retail cards, mortgages, auto loans, any type of installment loan? What kind of history do you have? The lenders want to know, you know, how good you pay bills, how good you borrow money. You know, are you good at getting amount of money and paying it back on a reasonable amount of time, you know, and doing that successfully? So we do look at that. And then we look at your overall debt. Because people want to know, can you pay for the debt you have and get more debt and afford to pay us back? So when the lender says, you know, hey, they want to know, can you pay my loan back if I give you money? So they're going to look at your debt to income ratio. So it's very important to know what are my monthly expenses versus what is my monthly income. So those are the two main things that we start with when evaluating a client for underwriting.
Okay, and we know, like, as loan brokers, most underwriters, we do not even get to talk to, even speak with. That's why I'm so excited to have you on our show today, that they are basically working directly with the lender and qualifying people. So that's what you guys do. You're like behind the scenes. Now, when it comes to credit, we know it's a lot of misfortune, missed thoughts of how credit's supposed to go. But if you could, what would be typically a good... What should you look like credit score-wise if you want to start looking at a personal loan? What do you think those things, what you should look like? What do you think their profile should look like? That's what I'm trying to say. Can you give us an example?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that, because that is probably one of the most important misconstrued items that people don't understand. Everybody, you know, I hear it every day. Oh, my credit score is, you know, 750. I'm great, you know, but everything is not about a number. It's what's behind the number. So having a good credit score, yes, is very important for the lenders to even, you know, want to consider you. So I would definitely say try to keep your credit score at least above 700. Okay. Know what's behind your credit score. Do you have good revolving credit cards? Do you have a lot of bank cards and a lot of high balances, or do you keep your balances low? So It's very important to make sure that you keep your credit card balances low, preferably below 30%, because that means you're not out misusing your money, you know, or running all your credit cards up. Lenders look at that as misuse of funds, getting a little reckless, not managing your finances correctly. Do you have a mortgage? Do you have an auto loan? How long have you had it? You know, having a good overall mix. There's four components to your credit report. That is the age of your credit report, the type of accounts you have, the mix, what they call the mix. That's those two items right there are huge factors in your credit profile. Then the actual utilization of your credit revolving accounts, and then the age of your last credit account and the number of inquiries you have. So you want to have a good mix. You want to have low utilization, preferably the lower the better, because that increases your credit score. So the lower your utilization, the higher your credit score will be. If you have a credit card that is maxed out, I don't care if it is just your local Target card and it's got a $1,000 limit, but you've got it maxed out at $1,000, your utilization is going to be 100% just on that one card. That's going to affect your overall credit score. But once you pay that down, you can see your credit score jump, you know, 20 to 30 points just by paying that one card off. So if you do that with all of your cards, maintain lower balances, keeping them low every month is going to keep your credit score higher. So keep that things in mind in keeping a good mix, keeping all your bills paid on time. Don't have any late payments. Don't have any collections. Do you have any charge-offs in the past? Oh, I forgot to pay off that one little Credit One Bank, you know, $300 credit card from 5 years ago. I just let it go. Well, it's still on your credit report, and it's still affecting your credit score. When we're looking at these credit reports every day, I see all kind of things, and people will be like, oh, I didn't know I was even there. You know, I had no idea. So it's very important to, you know, keep a maintained profile every month. Monitor your credit profile every month. I recommend definitely doing something with Experian online because these monitoring services, they don't always report some of the old stuff that you don't know is there. Right. So all these little factors will keep your overall profile looking strong. Keep your credit score over 700. Keep your utilization below 30%. Sure you pay all your bills on time, don't have any late payments, and try not to have any old collections pop up that you forgot about.
So what you're saying, I totally agree with Jean, because, you know, working with you and working with a lot of underwriters, which we don't necessarily talk to a lot of them directly, most people don't, but I have found out that what we did put together something based on what you're saying, that we let people know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that we tell them that you need to have, you know, 600-700 credit score, like what you said. We ask that you have no derogatories, like in 24 months. We also ask if they can keep their inquiries like six inquiries in a year, or even maybe less than that is what they want to do. And also to make sure that that 30% means that if your credit card, like you said, is $1,000, that means you only should spend $300 a month and don't go over that. And so we put that in place to let people know this is to give you some type of guideline, because normally we don't really, when it comes to doing credit, and you know this as well, and we've talked about it, people apply and just hope it sticks. But, you know, it's not, it's a method to the madness if you just learn how that works. Am I correct?
That is so correct. So many people don't understand that going out and applying for every credit card you see just because, oh, this one's got a good incentive, or this one's got a good interest rate, or this one's got a 0%. If you apply for all of these credit cards all at the same time, now you're bogged down with all these inquiries, and that's not going to look lucrative to lenders, because lenders are thinking, you know, oh, now you're a shopper. You know, you go out and apply for every credit card there is, you know, out there. And then, you know, that's a risk of running, you know, those balances up and, you know, being careless with the money.
Right. Exactly. So it is. So basically what you're saying, like we tell people, your credit plays a factor when you're actually trying to get funding. You just gonna have to realize that and have to be responsible. Now, I've been told, and you probably heard it as well, that I get an EIN, or I do an LLC, then I can get credit with that. And I guess you can to a certain point, but when it comes to you starting out, they're going to look at that personal credit, right?
Anytime you apply for credit, I don't care if it's for personal or business, anytime you apply for any type of credit, your personal credit report is going to be the first thing anybody looks at. You know, even if you have a Dun & Bradstreet or if you have an Experian business, right, they're still going to automatically pull your personal credit and look at you first and foremost. How is your personal credit look?
How responsible are you? And saying that pull your credit, and I know you've mentioned it before in some discussions we had, that sometime you'll get your credit pulled with not being aware of it. So how does that work? Because you said, you know, they will pull it just by you asking a few questions and you got a hard pull. So what's the difference, I guess, hard pull and soft pull? I guess we need to probably explain that. So tell us about that on
okay.
credit.
All right. So a lot of times everybody will tell you, oh, I'm just going to look over your credit report to make sure that everything looks fine. I was counseling a young lady earlier today. She's wanting to buy a home. And she's been talking to somebody. And so I showed her on her credit report, every time you pick up the phone and talk to him, he has hard pulled your credit.
Wow.
He is not just looking it over. You know, you're basically saying, I'm trying to fix my credit. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to get funding for my business. I want to buy a house. I looked at her credit report and she has these inquiries on there. And she had no idea that he was pulling her credit as a hard pull every single time.
Right.
So the hard inquiry is when somebody is putting a hard inquiry on your report, they're physically pulling your credit report and taking a look at it. A soft inquiry is more of a promotional thing. If you get an offer in the mail saying, oh, you know, you're pre-approved for a credit card, you're pre-approved for a loan, you know, that lender has done a promotional soft review. Basically, they can run a report or a program that gives them a review of every type of client they're looking for. That is a soft review, so there is no hard inquiry. So if you pick the phone up and you call somebody and you say, you know, I'm trying to get funds for my business, or I'm just starting out, I want to, you know what I want. You know, what do I do? How do I get money? And say, oh, well, let me take a look, you know, get some information from you. Now they've got your name, your address, your date of birth, your social security number.
Right,
that's really
right.
All they need. Sometimes they don't even need your social security number. They
exactly.
can't pull your credit with just your name, address, and date of birth.
Yes.
And that could be a hard inquiry and you don't even know they're doing it. I see every day so many people come in, they have great credit profile, but they have umpteen credit inquiries. And
right,
I asked them,
right. 20,
how many
30
people
inquiries.
Have you called? How many people have you called looking to get this loan? You know? I just called this one guy. Well, this one guy has now put you out there to all these other people who are now pulling your credit. So just be careful, you know, who you talk to.
Right.
If they tell you, oh, no, I'm not doing a hard inquiry, you make sure that you understand what information you're giving them. Give them your first name. Don't give them date of birth or social unless you understand that you will possibly get your hard credit pulled.
Right. And you made a good point. People did not understand that you don't have to give your social security number if you've given them everything else for them to actually pull your credit. That's what I think people are surprised in inquiries, right? Because you've mentioned that. I mean, we don't need the Social Security. We can just pull it. And then you have all those inquiries on there. So I think that's something great that you said that our listeners need to be aware of. So when you go in, I suggest, like with us as a loan broker, we do soft pulls and that's it. And we don't do anything. Of course, we don't want that credit to have, you know, go down because we're trying to get funding for them. But you need to ask that question. I don't think we even realize, Gene, that we should even ask, Is this going to be a hard pull or a soft pull? And I think that's what we should do even when we go on and inquire. I mean, what do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think of when you went to buy a car, when you went into the dealership, you sat down at that finance
table. They are the
table,
worst.
and they are. I always tell people how to get around that. I'll give you that example in just a minute.
Okay.
But this is what you can do in every everyday situations. You know, you go to that car dealership and he's like, oh, I'm just going to run your credit report real quick here to make sure that you pre-qualify. He just now ran your credit report through 10 banks.
Yes.
You have 10 inquiries.
Yes.
And you don't even know it.
Yes, that is so true.
That's exactly what happened. So what you want to do is you want to get pre-qualified. You want to work with someone like Jackie, who is, the loan broker. She can get you pre-qualified by doing that soft pull and having an underwriter look at everything to see what you are pre-qualified
right.
for. No harder.
With
no hard
damage
inquiry,
to your credit. Exactly.
And no damage to your credit. You see this all the time. This won't affect your credit. This won't affect your credit. Well, you have to be careful at what point does it not affect your credit? Because sometimes you think if you go do this, you don't realize how far you've gone with an application. Oh my gosh, now I've got a hard inquiry and I didn't mean to do it. So you always want to work with somebody who can get you pre-qualified without doing the hard inquiries, because somebody is helping on the back end, looking at your credit report for you, letting you know, hey, this is what you look like. This is what kind of funding you can get without now nobody's done hard inquiry. So that's how you get around it. Make sure that you work with somebody who knows that they can get somebody to look at it without having to do that and shop you around.
Right, which is a good idea. So we had some listeners actually send some questions in to ask you. And one of them they asked was the underwriting process compared to maybe what after COVID or before COVID. It's a little bit more strict or tighter. So tell us about that. What's going on with the underwriting you believe now at this time?
Oh, my goodness. Things are changing every week.
Wow.
Pre-COVID lenders were happy to lend money. You look good. You have the income. Everything looks great. They were approving loans constantly, without fear. But now post-pandemic, and it really at this point right now doesn't have anything to do with the pandemic itself. It has to do with the current economy.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Reserve meets every 6 weeks to decide, are we going to raise the rates?
Right.
So every six weeks when you hear that, the rates are going up another 0.25%, it's going up, 0.5%, you might not think that's a lot, but it affects funding because lenders have to take the new prime rate, which today is at 8.25%,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to pass that increase on to us, the consumer.
Exactly.
So they're going to make their profit. So the rates have changed dramatically. Pre-pandemic, the rates were great. If you had a good profile, you were getting good rates. Now it's, you got a great profile and your rates are not as great as you think they should be. It's because the lenders are now tightening their belts because they're scared to lend money. If you've noticed in the last few months, some big banks have gone under. So lenders are scared to lend money left and right because they don't want to take on too much debt and not give out good rates. So now they're passing those high rates on to us, and therefore we're not getting the rates. So, and their overall underwriting is getting a lot stricter. They're doing a lot of new things that they didn't used to do. They track you digitally. They can track your email address. They can track your IP
address.
That's
right.
They can track. They know your whole history. So if they don't see something that looks right, that's going to raise a flag to them. And then that's going to be, I don't know. So you go in the risk pile over here. So we've been seeing a lot of people get rejected because, different things have come up. So they're definitely putting putting the screws a little tighter on their underwriting.
Right. Process. And that's understandable. And I think that's what's great about this show is that our podcast, because we try to give people insight to the funding industry, what's happening behind the scenes and what's going on, because we're not saying, no, you can't get the funding. We just want to give you a direction of what it is now, because like you said, it has changed. What we did 5 years ago, 2 years ago, yesterday has changed. And then, especially in this field. So I think that's great. The other question I definitely want us to get that I think is really important that one of our listeners mentioned, let's explain to people what is authorized user. A lot of people come to us and they like, well, my credit, you look at their credit, and then I see they got 4 authorized users and they don't have account of their own. How does that affect them when our personal underwriting? How do underwriters look at something like that? Let's talk on that right quick.
Okay. That is a good question because I see this every day. Oh, well, I have a 780 credit score. Well, when I look at your credit report and I see you have 4 authorized user accounts, well, yeah, I mean, those are my mom's credit cards. Well, mom's paying the bill. Those are mom's bills. Mom's getting the credit for that. You're just authorized to use your credit card when you go to the store. So the bank doesn't know, or they don't see you as the person financially
right.
responsible.
It don't cover as much weight as people think. I think that's what that is.
It basically carries no weight.
Oh, no
what
weight.
What it does is... It carries no weight when it comes to lending money.
It does help
build credit. I did this for my own son. He was just out of college, didn't have any credit, didn't know how to do anything. So I said, I'm going to make you an authorized user on this particular bank card.
Mm-hmm.
When you use it, make sure that you tell me that you've used it, pay me the money that you use it so I can make sure it gets paid. I'm financially responsible regardless of what he does.
Right.
So when he goes to a bank and the bank says, well, can't show me that you are using credit wisely and making the payments and this and that and the other. Well, I have this credit card. Well, that's your mom's credit card.
So
a bank will say, okay, he went to his Wells Fargo bank because he had a relationship with his checking account and savings account. So when I put him on the card, it helped him get a starter card with Wells Fargo. I think they gave him like a $400 credit card.
Right.
So that's how he started building his credit. So it helps with something like that. But when it comes to real lending, it has no weight on letting a lender know that you can personally, financially, responsibly handle credit.
Exactly. And that's the biggest shock that I've had people come our way and we have to explain to them. When it comes to lending, unsecured personal funding, they're going to look at you, not authorized user. And people are paying a lot of money, Gene, for them to use other people's cards. They got some deals out here like that, that people are jumping on. Well, I've used, $20,000 line of credit and I was just put on there. I'm like, that helps with your scores and maybe do well at a car lot. But when it comes to lending, they're looking a lot deeper than that. And like you said, authorized user is not going to cut it. And that's what they have
exactly.
to understand. So I think that is something great. Yes, ma'am. What else you have to say on that?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, unsecured funding, which is what, we primarily focus on mm-hmm. for, starting up businesses and helping people get funding. Think of it this way. Would you loan the person next to you $10,000? No collateral. Nothing to hold and guarantee that you'll get your money back.
No.
Now your friend goes off on vacation, has a great time, goes to Vegas, blows the money. Now they can't pay you back. That's how the lenders look at it. They're taking all of the risk because this money is unsecured.
Right.
So, you want to take a vacation and run off to Mexico with their money? That's great. But to them, that's not great. So they take, you enjoyed your vacation, but now you come back that you feel like, I don't have to pay this back. I'm not going to lose my house, my car, nothing. I don't care.
Right.
But that's how lenders think, unsecured
right.
money. I'm taking the risk in giving you money. Are you worthy of getting this money? Especially when you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars, If I loaned you $10, I'm not going to be out $10, but I'm not going to worry about $10. But when a lender gives you thousands and thousands of dollars, it makes a big difference. So, that's where the financial responsibility, showing a lender that you are financially responsible, is huge.
It's huge. And that's something you have to do. So that's what I tell people. Don't start a business and focus on your business and think you don't have to focus on your personal credit. Because, like you said, it's the amount of the loan. And we're talking about $100 or $200 or $400 line of credit. You may can swing it on that. But at some point when you get the bigger money, they're going to look at that credit personally, even for your business. I know even what we have, we've had people that have been approved for $1.7 million. Well, guess what they asked for? Credit score. Credit file, and they looked at it and mm-hmm. they want to know, okay, he hasn't paid this lien that's 10 years ago. What happened? Come to find out it was just a fee that he didn't, we wasn't aware he had to pay, and that saved him. But between me and you and everybody that's listening, the lender was ready to deny him for that alone. $1.7 million. And he had a credit score of 760. So what you're saying is correct. And we have to really pay attention to that. So we definitely want to look more into it. I mean, this has been awesome. You have always given awesome information to our group. And today you did that as well. And we thank you so much, Ms. Jean. Is there anything else that you can think of that we didn't mention that you would like for us to mention for our audience today?
Well, if we're talking to people who are looking to start a business, just kind of know what you're doing as far as getting into starting the business. Have a plan. Don't quit your day job just yet. You still need to pay your bills today. I've seen so many people, you know, I've got this great idea, and, you know, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to get the money, and then I quit my job last week. Well, how are you going to keep paying your bills? You know, the lender doesn't want to, you know, have a long-term plan, short-term and long-term plan, because this doesn't happen overnight. Keep your credit intact. Keep your house in order. Pay your bills on time. Keep everything, you know, nice and neat. And then, like, also have belief. Believe in what you're doing. If you have a dream, go for it. Mm-hmm. But know what it takes to get there. Because there are people out there who want to help you. There are people who want to, you know, help you get the money, and they'll get you the money.
Exactly.
You know, just believe in what you're doing, but keep everything in order to make it happen.
Well, thank you. That is awesome. And I thank you for sharing your thoughts, your visions, and your opinions with us today. We do appreciate you. So do we want to thank Jean for coming in to visit with us today. Ms. Jean, thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. Always a pleasure working with you, Jackie.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to thank our audience, our podcast listeners. I want to thank you all for tuning in as well. Until next time, you all take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of TDJ Equity Funding Insiders Podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or get in touch with us, please visit our website at tdjequityllc.net/podcast or email us at podcast@tdjequityfundinginsiders.net. Until next time, take care.